to go to this morning, Matthew chapter 7. I titled this Narrow-Minded Thinking. I remember talking about this thing in fellowship a little while ago. Matthew chapter 7. There's a wonderful verses. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So, wide way to destruction. But because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that findeth. It's an interesting statement by Jesus Christ. There's a narrow way and there's a wide way. And it looks like in this case here, the narrow way is the one that you want to go through. Not the one that goes through wide. Many go in through destruction. Now, a lot of times people will say to Christians, you know, maybe the kids, I don't know, they get this when they talk to their peers, I don't know. You're really closed-minded. You know, you're very narrow-minded. And you know, you should keep an open mind to things. And well, I just want to look at the word today. See, is God open-minded? And so the first indication here is that, you know, narrow-minded thinking seems to be the better kind of thinking. But we'll see. Look at Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 10 says, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, just like the manifestations we heard today, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Romans chapter 10. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh thee, nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day many choices. No, wait a minute. It says life and good, two choices, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live. Good result. And multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish. Then you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, keep an open mind. No. He says, choose life. You choice, it's actually interesting. God gave you a choice, but then he tells you which one you should pick. Right? Is God open-minded? Well, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. In John chapter 14, two choices, and he says, you better pick this one if you want the results and the blessings. He could have said, you know, here's 5 of 10 options. Keep an open mind. Which one of these 5 work better for you? Go. No, he said there's 2. Death and life. And everything to having to do with God is life. Everything else is death. Open-minded? John 14. Verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. you believe in me, in God, believe also in me, because I'm not him. In my Father's house are many mansions. A little side note there. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, well, I am one of the ways. That's not what it says. What does it say? I am the way. Is the message of God an open-minded message? You could pick Buddha, you could pick Allah, you could pick... No, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now you say that amongst your peers today, and what you get labeled all kinds of things. You're closed-minded, you're a bigot, you're a racist. Well, I guess so is God then. Because he's the one who had the Lord say this. I am the way. So, you know, when someone says you should keep an open mind, well, yeah. I used to have an open mind. But when I learned about the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ, the rest of the stuff I put into the death category and picked this as the life category. So why would you want to go where there's death when you have the choice to have life? Why would you want to do that? In Mark chapter 1, and everything in the Bible points towards this truth, as we all know. Mark chapter 1. Verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Not one of many ways, which a lot of people believe, but the way. This is the one. And John the Baptist came, that's exactly what he said. You believe this or else. That's what God's word says to us. So is God open-minded? I don't think so. In Acts 4. You know, and this doesn't mean, and we'll look at that in a minute, but it doesn't mean that we cannot try to understand where people are coming from. You know, it doesn't mean you shouldn't try to understand things. Like maybe you want to read the Quran. Maybe you want to read it and see what it says, just so you can identify and help people who read it. Maybe you want to read something else. Maybe you want to read about Buddhism or something, whatever. Read about it. That doesn't mean we don't understand them, but we'll see. As with Paul the Apostle, he understood stuff and he did a lot of stuff, but he wasn't going to go down that road to the point where he was shipwrecked, only to try to help people. Look at that in a minute. But Acts chapter 4, getting ahead of myself. Verse 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, this is about the healing that took place, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, it chucked it aside, which has become the head of the corner, and instead it became the most important rock in the building, chief cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other. And that sounds like a very closed-minded thing to say. You know, how, you know, that's racism, that's bigotry. How can you be so closed-minded about things? You know, don't you want to consider the possibilities? Well, neither is there salvation in any other. Sounds sort of like the death-life thing God said in the Old Testament. For there is none other name given under heaven, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. So would it be of benefit to us to keep an open mind in this area? No, it would not. There is not salvation. And you know, and it's important for us to tell people, you need to be more closed-minded. Well, there's a thing you want to say to people. You know, you should really be more narrow-minded and closed-minded about your life. if you want life and salvation. Because as long as you keep an open mind and try things, that's the choice of death. So you want life? Narrow is that way. Narrow-minded, close-minded. How would you like that? You know, anyway. But God seems to say, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, this is what I was talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So, you know, yeah, you try to understand. But there's a very good reason why you try to understand. And Paul was a master at this. It says in 1 Corinthians 9:19, "For though I be free from all, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." That's why Paul was trying to understand the people around him and the things they did. Look at this. "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew." Why? Because he felt like being a Christian wasn't enough. You know, he was being open-minded. Let's try Judaism for a while. No, why? That I might gain the Jews. That's the only reason that you would want to try to understand Muslim religion or Buddhism or Shintoism or Hinduism or whatever. Why? So you can gain the Muslims. So you can gain the Hindus. So you can gain the Buddhists. That's why Paul did it. Paul was he wasn't unsatisfied with being a Christian. He said, "Unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law." Why? "That I might gain them under the law." He's kind of going undercover. "To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ." See, I did that, but I didn't do it to the point that I became a part of their righteousness and all the things they were involved in. He kept it clean. But he identified to understand with why, that I might gain them that are without law. "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all," why? "That I might by all means save some." That's the only reason. That biblically is a very good reason to try and understand where people are at, but not to keep an open mind about what they believe. There's a big difference. So Paul never went so far as to, well, let's try this for a while and see where it goes. "And this I do," verse 23, "that I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." He never went so far outside that he was shipwrecked by what he was trying to do. His one goal was the gospel, to get people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he kept trying to understand. But was he open-minded? Like, was he trying these things to see whether they were better? No. The only reason was that they would believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is a good reason. In Galatians chapter 1. So clearly Paul knew the balance of this walk. Identification with the plight of man without actively entertaining the errors of their thinking. And only so that they would be one to the Lord. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Well, there's closed-minded thinking. As we said before, so say I now again. Let's do it twice. Let's be totally closed-minded, double closed-minded. "If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Not only is it this is the only way, but anybody does anything else, let them be accursed. That's closed-minded. I like this. This is good. You know, closed-minded is a lot easier than open-minded. You only have one thing to think about. It's a lot easier than thinking about 100 things. We're always trying to find out the right way. Corinthians chapter 8.
That's why I give up.
1 Corinthians chapter 8. It's always an upside. Not to mention eternal life. And reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 4. "As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto other idols, We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. And Isaiah 44:8 is a good place to go if you want to read it. It says, God says, I don't know any other God. I don't know any other one. I'm the God. I don't know any other, he said. Verse 9, 5. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there be gods many and lords many, there are a lot of options, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. To us, you know, there are a lot of options out there, but he said, to us, there is only one. Closed-minded? Definitely. I'm beginning to like this closed-minded thinking. It was narrow-minded. Someone tells you, you're narrow-minded, you go, thank you. I've worked hard at being narrow-minded in my life. Because once I knew the truth, all the other nonsense went by the wayside. As it should. In Ephesians 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in hope, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There you go. One God, one Lord, one, not many options, one. You know, so you get to a point in your life where I now openly admit that I am a narrow-minded, closed-minded human being. When it comes to truth. And that's a perfectly wonderful place to be. I really enjoy being closed-minded and narrow-minded. 2 Corinthians. Now I'm going to prove to you that not only is God closed-minded, but he's also a communist. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is excellent. Excellent stuff. Bet you wish you stayed home today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. You mean you're going to now tell me what I should think? Yeah. God's saying, I want you to bring every thought to the captivity of Christ. Well, that's communistic, isn't it? He's a communist. I'm going to tell you what to think. I'm going to give you two options. I'm going to tell you which one to pick. And then I'm also going to tell you what to think. Isn't that what communism did? You don't believe me. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. We'll go further. We'll close here. Philippians chapter 4. Simple truth. Important truth. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, you think on these things. Think, this is the way God wants you to think. You think this way. Not any other ways. You think this way. You know. So, you know, just a few verses, but, you know, in going through it, you know, narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the way. Many, many find the broad way. You know, you're talking about those people, you know, a small percentage in a church that wanted to go to where the Bible was taught. You know, wide is the way to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads life, and few that find it. You know, and the message of God is singular. And that's why we looked in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ and the church epistles. The message is the same. One to us, there is one God. One God. That's it. There's no many gods. And there's only, you know, of the choices that God gives you, death or life. And he tells you, you need to pick life. Jesus Christ said, you don't get life any other way but by me. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. One God, one hope, one Lord. And God says, pick that one. All other ways lead to the same option that he had in the Old Testament, which is life and death. All the other nonsense that was out there. And then when we read the seven church epistles, you know, God had by Paul write down, look, if anybody's preaching anything else, don't let them be cursed. See, it's not a matter of, well, think about it. There's a lot of things going on in life. Entertain a few. Think about these. No, it's never that way with God. Never. It's you believe this. This is the way, the truth, the life. And by the way, when it comes to your thinking, bring every thought here. Think these things. Right? So, you know, is God open-minded or closed-minded when it comes to the truth? Well, I would have to say he's narrow-minded and closed-minded. You know, and I think that when it comes to the truth, we have to be too if we're ever going to stand a chance to believe the truths that are in the Word of God. So have a wonderful week being narrow and closed-minded every situation you come across. Okay?